I've been nervous about the podcast, but I was like, it's understandable. Podcast is called The Nervous Record. Therein lies the point. It validates it. However, I would like for some of it to be quelled, if possible, because I'm waking up at night. I'm having dreams about it. I feel like maybe I haven't been doing enough moon intentions. I've totally just gone the way of the dodo as far as the moon intentions are concerned.
Leah.
It was like, I got a boyfriend, and all of a sudden it was like, well, I got everything I wished for.
Fuck the moon.
Nothing safe. Fuck the moon.
I'm Amanda Sox, and you're listening to The Nervous Record, where each week I talk to the girl from my high school that was institutionalized about how she's doing 15 years later. My adrenals are like shriveled up raisins coughing up dust. The exact quote that my doctor said, because I'm so stressed and I'm constantly in fight or flight mode. But then when I go back and I try and re-examine my day, there's just not that much on the agenda that I'm like, this really took a lot out of me. In comparison, like, yeah. it seems so out of balance, or not out of balance, but of my,
oh,
like,
my. Oh my goodness, you did a lot of running, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good thing you found those. Can I open them for you?
Yeah.
I got an idea. Do you want to color?
Yeah.
She's had so many fruit snacks today.
Is that because you keep giving them to her as like a diversionary tactic, or is that?
Well, she fights us every morning at breakfast time. So some days I'm just like, I just start her off with fruit snacks to just like open the palate.
I want gummy bears. That's the first thing that I want when I wake up.
Upon waking, yeah. I mean, it's probably evolutionary.
I think it's sugar addiction. Thing. And I think you may be setting her up for sugar addiction. I didn't mean to come into a podcast about anxiety and tell you that you're giving your child sugar addiction. Whenever we start to talk about kids, you know, just imagine, you know, my head on a dog's body, kind of tweaking it to the side because, like, I hear important sounds coming at me, but, like, I just don't quite speak the language.
I usually don't either.
I guess the good news is that she's going to continue to grow, so it won't be this forever.
Yep.
As somebody who's 31 and lives with my parents, it could be. I don't spend a lot of time trying to get Donnelly's attention. If she wants to do my laundry, like, who am I to? That's her prerogative.
Does she really want to?
I mean, I don't think doing my laundry is my mother's love language. But then the next thing I know, my clothes are folded and they're sitting on my stairwell. I didn't ask for that, nor did I expect it. I just get into such a state of avoidance that it's like, you know, I started washing those clothes, and when I'm emotionally ready, I'm going to go put them in the dryer.
Does it make you feel
irresponsible
guilty?
I'm an irresponsible woman child that is stunted.
Does it make you feel guilty when it's sitting there folded?
Not. Some of that stuff is their choices. Some of that's on them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There's no way that I can defend myself and sound like a normal, like reasonable, or at all responsible. Please don't take it the wrong way that I said that.
Oh no!
You're giving your child a sugar addiction.
I'm full aware. You know, it all started. Jay's sister's boyfriend gave her whipped cream from whatever pie we were eating.
Cool Whip.
I don't know.
Was it Cool Whip and not the stuff out of the can?
I don't remember.
A homemade whipped cream.
I mean, that would be amazing.
Now this is all I'm thinking about.
Anyway.
Amanda gave me a journal so I could get organized.
Yeah, it's because you destroyed this other one, ripping out pages. But you ripped them out and still keep them?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you do that? Do you hoard things? I mean, other than office supplies. See, Amanda hoards things, but she hoards clean, tight, like the office supplies.
Office supplies, journals that I don't use that have like two entries in them.
Exactly. I hoard journals from the fifth grade.
Ah.
And then I go back and reread them. Later.
Throw up.
A lot of times it makes me want to throw up. It makes me want to blow chunks and cry chunks. And then I laugh hysterically because I'm like, if I could go back and tell fifth grade Leah, like, you're the coolest one. Like, you won't realize this for another solid 22-ish years. Yeah. But, like, you're alone now. This will make you friends in the future.
Right.
So, like, I'm kind of glad that I have the fifth grade journal. Maybe it's a little illusory that I do take it around and show it to people.
I think the thing that's super interesting to me, which is maybe part of this, is we have been friends since we were 15. So, like, we were high school friends, but it is now 15 years later.
And the other half of our life. Half of our lives.
Yeah. And friends. Now it feels like we're just really getting to know each other. You know what I mean? Some of the stuff is just like, it's past. We know it. It's understood. So there's like a very easy like entry point to friendship. Because like, we got all that. We know each other. We know each other, right? But then, you know, when I say stuff like, oh, yeah, I'm super anxious about this. And you're like, what?
Yeah, you know? No, it's so, you know, I think that the idea for Nervous Record came one day when we were going to, Greek Festival. It's a huge event in our town.
Mm-hmm.
Of Greek food and celebration. It happens once a year in May. I mean, it's exciting because we live in a pretty conservative town in the South. And so I never know that there's that many Greek people around. Like, and I'm just, whenever we have this festival and they're all coming out of the woodwork and I'm like, where, this is so spicy and so cultured. And like, where are you people like in the 9 to 5?
Uh-huh.
Anyhow, this type of thing usually is my nightmare because it's crowded with swarms of people. But like my desire for baklava trumps my discomfort.
Supersedes any fear.
Exactly. And I think
baklava confidence. No, that doesn't work.
Baklavado? Like bravado? I don't know. But anyway.
Cool. No. We should move on.
Yeah, that's a tricky bakla. We'll come bakla that.
Bakla balls.
Yeah, we'll come bakla that a little later. I can't remember why it was you were going with me.
If festival is in the title, I mean, there is like a 98% chance I am not going.
Yeah.
It's outside. There are lines. Meandering's not my thing. Ooh, I just want people to get out of my way.
No, yeah.
I want to like go to a place, get the thing, and go away from the place. And then look for a place to eat. Oh my God, that's the worst part. That's middle school all over again. The scariest thing is like finding a place to eat in the cafeteria. That episode of Full House, DJ's first day of junior high.
You couldn't find a place to eat in the cafeteria.
No, I think I mixed up my own memories with DJ on Full House, but she had to eat in the phone booth.
There was a phone booth at her school? I don't remember this.
She dressed like the teacher that everybody hated.
This was in middle school?
It was her first day of junior high, and she was dressed, had this exact same outfit as the teacher everyone hated. And so people laughed at her and didn't let her sit at their table. And so she ate lunch in a phone booth and pretended to be on the phone. Then she decided to dress all sexy and cool.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, that only gets you so far, right? And Becky gave her this whole speech that was underscored with sentimental music about, you know, like, beauty being natural.
Don't dress slutty.
Yeah.
But also, you don't have to eat in the phone booth. And that was the lesson.
She just found other normal kids. And it was fine.
So find normal kids was the lesson of that.
I don't remember.
Episode.
All I remember is the
if
fear
it was like,
and isolation and makeup.
Find kits. Kids you like. Like, okay. No. Note taken. Like, if that was that easy. Uh-huh. Cafeteria school nightmares. When I moved to my first house in Chicago, I was introduced to my class. They were at lunch and the teacher walked me in and one of the kids shouted, I suppose, or made their remark, "She's picking her nose." And they all started laughing. And I really think that just it's been downhill from there. I wish there had been a phone booth.
Right?
Yeah. We don't have a phone booth in
my
house.
You didn't have a smoking patio in middle school?
No, we don't.
I used to ask my second grade teacher before we moved to Greenville if I could skip recess and read books. And she's like, yeah, sure. And so that's what I did. And then I moved here, middle of the school year in second grade. And Mrs. Hollis, I'm saying her name because she is a terrible person and she's probably dead.
Screw you, Mrs. Hollis.
Screw you, Mrs. Hollis. Like, she's definitely that kind of teacher who is upset that they have outlawed paddling, because I'm sure that's what she did.
Oof.
For most of her teaching career.
Oof.
So yeah, I asked her one of the first days because I was like so nervous and shy, and I told you about our playground when at my first school, didn't I? It was just like an overturned wooden rowboat, and
yeah, I've seen those. I know,
you know,
that kind of playground.
Just like some dirt.
Yeah.
Chain link
the
fence.
Overturned wooden rowboat.
And so this new playground, I was like, what? I don't know how to do all these things. I don't know kids. What am I going to do? So I asked her if I could stay inside and read. And she was like, no, everyone must go outside for recess and play. And she punished me for asking to stay inside and made me stand against the wall with my nose touching the wall.
What?
7 years old.
Nose touching the wall?
Yep.
And that was in the 90s.
Yeah.
The 1990s, not the 1890s.
But yeah, she was probably like in her 70s. So,
I mean, I feel bad. Like, I so don't relate to that. When you said paddling, it took me a second. I thought of paddle boating, like on a lake, because I'm pretty sure at my totally privileged school in suburban Chicago, and I'm pretty sure paddle boating was one of our PE things that we could do.
Oh my God.
But like cross country skiing was
one
of them.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it was super ridiculous.
Yeah, me too. The boat was just on dirt, turned over with no oar.
Which is more of a helpful life skill to have, you know.
Just figure it out.
Just figure it out is what you need to learn.
One of the punishments she would give to kids if they were talking she would take a large handful of flexible drinking straws. So like full, you know, make a C with your hand, grab that much, put it in the kid's mouth so that they could breathe through the straws, but they couldn't move their mouth.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. And then they had to sit there for whatever amount of time during class. Like she would continue with class.
Oh, fuck you, Mrs. Hollis. Like
she's a witch. Or was. Once again, she's probably dead. There were a lot of mistakes made that year. Some on my part. I slapped a girl.
Whoa, wait a minute.
I've never slapped anyone since.
The nose to the wall thing is seeming like a little more reasonable now that this is starting to develop here. You slapped a girl?
We're waiting in the hall in line to go to lunch or something like that. And they were playing this game where somebody in the back, they like tap the person in front of them and say, hey, if you don't let me cut in front of you in line, I'll slap you. And so it just goes up the line like that. That's just the game, apparently. Children are sick. So it got to me, and I had to do it to the person in front of me, barefoot. And
that's not a real person.
It is. Okay. Just the way Amanda socks is a real person.
Barefoot and socks, like that's
I know.
Too good to be true.
It's too good to be true. Anyway, She also was just, like, played by the rules. She was straight-laced and popular, and everybody liked her for a good reason. She was a nice, well-meaning person. So I tapped her on the shoulder, and I said, if you don't let me cut in front of you, I'll slap you. She said, no. And then I slapped her. Because those were the rules, Leah.
See, I wish I had slapped more people.
They're cutthroat at PE time, I can tell you that much. Wiffle ball and kickball and
dodgeball
and
all those injury games.
Our PE, my old school, was in a portable, like, in the trailer. And we just used, like, exercise bands and stretch.
When the 2 years that Donnelly homeschooled me in high school, the PE requirement, that was the most hysterical thing in the world. And because it was Donnelly being like, here, handing me a yoga DVD and then telling me to just take a lap around the block. And that has set me up for failure, I feel like, ever since then. I've never had a metabolism. Okay, so second grade, you smacked a girl.
I'm sorry,
Erica. How did that feel?
How do you even explain that? I panicked. Because I was a second grader with anxiety.
This is something that I actually, that I do think is very pertinent and I think about a lot, is what is the root of anxiety for highly anxious people? Mm-hmm. Because we can look back at our childhoods and see from, like, very, very early ages. These...
Leah is gesticulating with her hands very emphatically, but with no clear meaning or direction.
We can see these signs, you know, not signs, because you don't look back at signs, but you can see these patterns starting to emerge, or you can see these events, and wondering, like, where did that come from? Because surely, like, babies aren't born... But kind of they are. Because it seems like babies cry about a lot of stuff.
Well.
Openly.
If no one is addressing their needs.
I feel like we're teasing at something here. Like, I feel like we're combing through something. Because when I moved to Chicago in the first grade, I look at that time and I see that's where, like, some patterns started to really emerge. Like, crazy lying. Crazy. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say crazy because I wouldn't look at, you know, I wouldn't take a first grader, you know, now and look at them and say, you're crazy. Like, you know, but I told the teacher my dad was hit by a bus. I said that we had been living in London. And I'm like, where did I even get that? And I remember having to go see the school therapist. And we would do activities. And one of the things was... it was either lies that I had told or characteristics about myself that were not desirable traits, which I would hope that's not what it was. But I remember I had to make a thing and it was bowling pins. It was like a cutout of each pin. I had to write either like a lie that I had told. How many bowling pins are in a set of pins? 9? 10? I would hate to think that the school counselor would have a third grader and be like, let's think about 10 undesirable traits about you.
And then visually manifest
them. And then visually write them down. But then the point was I was going to bowl them down. Like, I was going to knock them down.
What was written on the bowling ball?
That, yeah, exactly. I don't know. Jesus? Like, that'd be your school. That wouldn't be my school. Yesterday, I had the thought when I needed to take Annie to the vet, and I was like, God, I need to tend to her so badly. And I was going through, I can't remember what I was looking for. Something. The dog is, like, sick. And I found the newspapers from September 11th that I guess my dad had saved. Like, you know, people do that. Totally forgot about...
September 11th.
No, that I didn't forget 9/11. I forgot that I needed to get the dog to the vet imminently.
Yeah.
I mean, the dog was sleeping at the moment. Like, if she was in physical distress in the moment, I would have.
Right.
Got her there. I was just so captivated by, well, now, I mean, look at this. Like, I have to read all of this, these newspapers from 9/11, and there's pictures, and it was really fascinating. And in the middle of that, I texted you, do not ever let me be in charge of the care of your daughter.
Right.
Because it'll be going okay, but then she'll need something, and then I'll find, like, a newspaper article on baby Jessica or something like that, or, you know, Selma or whatever, and Selma. I mean, you find the newspaper articles about September 11th. You don't want to just cast them aside.
No.
Yeah, like, you have
then
to
the terrorists would win.
Yeah, you have to take a moment. That was the day that I was checked into the psychiatric hospital.
On
the next
11th,
episode of the Nervous Record.
Cliffhanger.
September 11th was the day I was checked into the psychiatric hospital. Oh. And I told my mom that I was really upset and I wanted to talk to somebody about it. And she said, well, let me get you an appointment with the doctor. She might want to give you some St. John's wort or something. And considering the raging alcoholism and bipolar disorder that runs in my family bloodline, that was wishful thinking on Donnelly's part, I guess.
Yeah, a little bit.
I went to talk to the doctor, and she came out and told my mom, you need to take her, and I've put a call in, and she needs to be admitted inpatient. That was definitely a plot twist. So we get to this Greek festival, and
next time on The Nervous Record.
Remember that fucking time that you sent me to the drugstore to buy condoms? Extra large, unlubricated for the Baptist Church production of the Sanders Family Christmas.
If you want to follow us online, you can find us on Twitter at Nervous Record, or you can follow us on Instagram at The Nervous Record, or you can like our Facebook page at The Nervous Record, and most importantly, you can throw us some money at patreon.com/The Nervous Record. We got to pay our producer somehow.